Okay, we'll bring the meeting of the Public Safety Policy and Security Committee together and have a quorum. We'll ask for approval of, or excuse me, start off with a roll call.
Representative Cornish.
Here.
Representative Johnson.
Here.
Representative Hillstrom.
Here.
Representative Becker Finn.
Here.
Representative Considine.
Here.
Representative Dean.
Here.
Representative Frankie.
Here.
Representative Grossel.
Here.
Representative Howe. Representative Lohmer.
Here.
Representative Lucero.
Here.
Representative Neuber.
Minister.
Representative O'Neill.
I'm here.
Representative Pinto.
Here.
Representative Ward.
Here.
Representative Zerwas.
Here. Okay, we'll ask for a motion for approval of the minutes of March 28th.
So move, Mr. Chair.
Representative O'Neill moves the minutes for March 28th. If there's no objections, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carried. Okay, today we have in front of us Representative Franzen with House File 2621. You would like to move your bill, Representative Franzen.
I do, Mr. Chair.
What? Oh, that's right. I was thinking of Representative O'Neill. The chair will move your bill, House File 2621, to be referred to Health and Human Services Reform. That would be Joe's committee right now. Representative Franzen, would you like to begin? And then you can address if there's any fiscal note here, too. Or we can have staff cover it if you...
Yeah, we'll have staff. I'll go into my intro, and then there's a couple of amendments. And I know that we got some people that DHS probably talked to one. Representative Hillstrom has one. So.
Okay, Representative Franzen.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 2621 is a human rights issue, a women's health issue, and a gender violence issue. The issue before us is called female genital mutilation, and I will not be downplaying the seriousness of this topic. In fact, it may make you uncomfortable to listen to. However, it is in no way uncomfortable or painful to what little girls are experiencing. In 2012, the UN adopted a resolution calling on the international community to ramp up efforts to end the practice. Female genital mutilation is classified into four major types. Type 1, often referred to as clitoridectomy. This is the partial or total removal of the clitoris, and in a very rare cases, only the prepuce. Type 2, often referred to as excision. This is the partial or total removal of the clitoris and labia minora, with or without excision of the labia majora. Type 3, often referred to as infibulation. This is the narrowing of the vaginal opening through the creation of a covering seal, sometimes through stitching with or without removal of the clitoris. Later, in order to allow intercourse or for childbirth, the woman needs to have this undone, which is called de-infibulation. Mm-hmm. This would be cutting open the sealed vaginal opening, and many times then the process repeats itself. Type 4 also includes all other harmful procedures to the female genitalia for non-medical purposes, pricking, piercing, incising, scraping, and cauterizing the genital area. This in no way should be considered a compromise on female genital mutilation. It is still a violation of the rights of the child. What are the consequences of female genital mutilation? Well, death is the most serious and also most common with type 3. Severe pain, often anesthesia isn't used and extremely sensitive nerve endings are cut. Infection, bladder dysfunction, urinary tract infections, infertility, and increased risk for obstructive complications in childbirth. Difficulty with minor gynecological procedures such as a pap smear, chronic infections, recurrent vaginal infections, sexual dysfunction, and psychological disorders including post-traumatic stress, anxiety, and depression. While the exact number of girls and women worldwide who have undergone fetal genital mutilation remains unknown, UNICEF believes it's at least 200 million girls and women in 30 countries that have been subject to this barbaric practice. Here in the United States, female genital mutilation is on the rise. And the Center for Disease Control and Prevention estimated that 513,000 women and girls in the United States are at risk or are victims of being mutilated. According to the CDC, this is a threefold increase from its 1990 estimate. Why am I bringing this bill forward? I was asked last year to bring a bill similar to this forward, and I did not think that we needed it. And then this fall and this late fall, early winter, I was asked again, and I did not think we needed it because we had a statute that prohibited the actual cut, the actual act of cutting or mutilating. That all changed when news broke about two seven-year-old girls being taken out of state to Michigan, coerced by their moms that they were going on a special girls trip. And never in my wildest dreams did I ever think a parent would find a person willing to break the law and hand their child over to somebody for the sole purpose of robbing that child of their future sexual enjoyment, thus leaving that child to a life of health complications and psychological disorders. From CNN, the girls were told not to say anything and to keep it a secret. The doctor made them cry. There were three people in the office, one to clean up, two to hold their hand. Regarding the actual procedure, the girl told investigators she felt a little pinch. The area was clean. The next day, this girl said it hurted a lot. The girl described the pinched area as where we go pee. The girl told investigators the doctor gave them white stuff to put on, and then they got cake afterwards because the doctor said they were doing good. The girl said she felt pain and burning in her genital area. The girl said 3 days passed before she felt better and no medicine was needed. She said the doctor had told them no bikes and no splits for 3 days. As if this wasn't horrific enough, two little girls in our state being put through this violent act, which was allowed by the parents. But get this, one of the girls, for a whopping 72 hours, was removed from the home. Medical exams proved that indeed this poor girl had been subjected to being mutilated, and then that poor child was allowed to return to her parents' home. So much for child protection. The parents are required to provide this innocent victim with medical and psychiatric care and allow a social worker to visit their home. As far as the second victim of genital mutilation, she entered foster care, and it is unknown if she was returned back. I read and watched the news like every other person paying attention to this awful issue and thinking, how is this okay? How are the parents not held responsible, and how is it that at least one of the kids was returned back home? That's when I realized Minnesota law is silent on the parents wanting this done to their children, and here we are today. And with that, Mr. Chair and its testifiers, I have Ms. Cahill here who is going to testify, and she has a couple other testifiers.
Okay, ma'am, if you give us your name, you look familiar, and been to the committee before, your name and what your organization, and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you all members of committee. My name is Fahil Khalif, and I am with the Voice of East African Woman, but today I'm here in support of the bill that Representative Frenson has brought in front of you. As a Somali girl, young girl, when I was between the age of 7 to 9 years old, I was one of those over 200 million girls. I know my mother loved me, and she didn't know no better, because this is what you're supposed to do. Every girl has to go through this ritual. I remember my sisters who were older than me, maybe five sisters older than me, went through one by one. I knew my turn was coming up soon. Day before, when I heard the rumors in my house that I would be circumcised tomorrow, so I waited for it, and when they come in, I took off when my brothers and my cousins chased after me till they can cut me till all the way dark at night. Next morning, while I was asleep, my elders and my mom come in and got me out of the bed. I couldn't escape because it was the purpose that they knew I was going to escape. I was going to run away. I was tied up, each hands, each legs. I was blindfolded, and all I felt was the pain coming from down there. And probably I got numb, or whatever happened, I don't know, I got passed out. And when I woke up, the elder opened the blindfolded out of my face, and I saw blood all over the floor. That's the area that we do the circumcisions. And she had my clitter in my face, and she said, "Now you see, now you don't have it anymore." I got stitched all the way down. I spaced that where I can only pee. And next few weeks, I had a visitors from tribal members, elders who given me rewards, money, and good food, and sweets, telling me how good girl I was to not to run away after this happened to me. Today, I'm coming forward. I can talk about a lot of what happened in the past when I was 7 or 8 years old. I wasn't sure how life is going to be. I was waiting my head because the pressure is the man who's supposed to have, not the virgin that God gives you, but the virgin that man gives you. This is to be pleasing for the man, not because of pleasing God. And I thought, when I get married, this down here is going to be painful. This is the second time I'm going to have somebody touch down there, because the whole idea is not to have a sex till you get married. And your husband's supposed to be happy that you are very tight down there. And I was in another country. I met an American soldier who was inside American base. I explained it to him while we were dating. I couldn't have sex with him because it hurts. He thought it was a joke. And I said, if you really, 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 really love me, then you have to marry me for me to have sex with you. Within 6 months after we met, he proposed to me. He gave me a ring. We don't get a ring in our country. That is special. And after that, we got married. And when we got married, we had sex for the first time. And he was shocked. He thought I was having fun with him telling a lie. He said, how do you guys pee? Is this every Somali girl went goes through this? I said, yes. Will you help me not to pressure me to have sex with you every night because it hurts? He was very helpful to me. We had a son, but my American doctor at the base explained to me what I have to go through to have this baby. We had a beautiful son, but I remember the doctor has to give me surgery to have the baby. And it's complicated. After that, you have to wait again because you have the fear to enjoy sex. It's not comfortable. It's not good because, you know what? You've been taken away what you're supposed to have as a girl, as a little girl. You don't have control of that. But as a grown-up, today what I do is in the community, I advocate violence against the women, sexual assault, and I advocate for women every day. And I go back to the community and I talk to the women. I tell them, don't be afraid to come forward and speak. And I'm writing here today. I'm grateful they listened to me. Fatima, who works with the special community, and where's Muhammad, who had her story, was covered at Star Tribune last year, why she's not going to do that for her daughters. They're here today to tell their story as well. I'm proud of them to listen to me. I've been advocating for the last couple of days and asking them if they're willing to come today, if they have a time to say a few words, what happened to them, and why would they support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Another testifier. Okay, whoever wants to go first, just give us your name and begin, please.
Hi, everyone. My name is Wils Mahmoud. I'm here to testify. I don't want to what happened to my girls happen. So this is not for religion. This is cultural. We want to advocate the whole Somalian, even African, some African, they have these things to tell the women they're not going to do this because it's not good for them, to their health, or to have, even when they're having the baby, they get difficulty. I always had it. I had the 5 kids, one only in cesarean section, but the other 4, I had a difficult infection all the time when I have the baby. So I don't want to happen to, you know, for anyone after that happened to them. I went to Somalia back 2015. I had my 2 daughters and my other one. I don't want to do it. They are here. They know what happened to me. So it's not religion. It's just the cultural. So we need just to educate Somalian women or all other people who gone through to tell them this is not religion. You have to stop. Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am, your name?
Hi, my name is Fatima Abdunur. So I have a number of the organization. Their name is Tasha, means consultancy. So I have a girls. When I was young, I remember what I, that time even I didn't have a mom and dad. So my mom and dad, they passed away. So I remember when I was young. So I'm worried my kids and my other kids. My number for the organization is HAVA International. I go back to Africa, and a couple of months I'm here. So I go there, and then I say, you have to stop. This is not good. This is not a religion. This is the culture. So when I come here, even they fix it in here. I have America because I have America is I have a good opportunity. My country is I have a civil war, so I have not ceasefire. Still, I have a presidency, but not yet. So I advocated for Somalia. So I help my I want to help the Somalian because they don't know, they don't speak English very well. They are new immigrant, so we need help. I know America is have a good opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Franson, anyone else?
I do not believe so. I believe we can go to the amendments, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, you have an assortment of your first one will be A3. The chair will move the A3 amendment, H2621A3. And Representative Franson, you want to just adopt it and explain it? Or?
Yep, we'll just adopt this. If I want to, can I phone a friend and Ben Johnson, nonpartisan staff, can explain why we're deleting using the A3 amendment?
Mr. Johnson, you want to go through the amendment?
Mr. Chair, the A3 amendment deletes the current Section 4 of the bill. That Section 4 addresses when a police officer could take someone into immediate custody. It was decided in conversation with several involved parties that the second clause there covers the appropriate the appropriate times when that would be necessary.
Okay, I understand, Representative Filstrom. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank the author. She has spent a lot of time talking with the stakeholders surrounding this issue, and I believe that the A3 amendment does address some of the concerns from stakeholders, so I encourage members to support it.
Okay, with that, the chair has moved the amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes. The next amendment is the A4. A4 amendment. Would you like to explain the A4 amendment? Anyone?
Mr. Chair, the A4 amendment essentially changes the current Section 7 of the bill. Section 7 involves several definitions which appear in Chapter 626.556 of statutes. There was concern about whether it was a mandatory reporting offense to allow this, to allow female genital mutilation to take place. In consultation again with several of the interested parties, it was decided to add a new definition for a term called maltreatment, which will now be part of, under this bill, Chapter 626.556. And will make sure that all maltreatment must be reported by mandatory reporters.
Okay, this bill has got to go through HHS. I noticed the County Attorney's Association is here. Did the other bill, since it addressed peace officers, or did you talk to anybody from the Peace Officers Coalition or the County Attorneys so far? Any concern?
They're good.
What's
they're
that?
They're back there. They're good.
I know they're back there, but that's why I see them back there. But I just wondered if you knew if there was any concerns that you've heard of. Representative Hilster.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that the stakeholders do not have concerns with these amendments, and that the author of the bill has worked very hard to get the stakeholders to get their input and make the language reflect what it is that she intends to do.
Okay, I remember you mentioned stakeholders. I just didn't know which ones you were talking about. So yep. Sounds good. Okay. Sure, move the A4 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. The A5 amendment, is that the one that came in late? And we can, with your permission, Representative Hilton, or support will waive the deadline. Go ahead, Representative Hilstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, the A5 amendment did not meet deadline. The author of the bill and I have been working diligently to try to make the bill really, really great and actually put definitions clearly in the bill. And so Representative Franzen has done a good job in attempting to address many of these issues, and we just wanted some clarity in the language. And so the A5 amendment, I would ask members if they would agree to waive the 24-hour rule because I think that this actually makes the bill better.
Okay. You heard the A5 amendment. A5 amendment is moved by the chair. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Now, there's no more amendments to the bill, Representative Franzen or Representative Hilstrom, if you want to make comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, now with the A5 amendment that's been adopted to the bill, Representative Franzen and I and all the other folks that have been working on this actually put the definitions from the World Health Organization actually in the statute. So it's really clear what it is that is going to have criminal penalties. And it also actually makes the penalties graduated based on the level of harm. And so previously the bill required all of them would have been five-year felonies. And in Minnesota, we have graduated levels of harm in our assault statutes, our criminal sexual conduct, and this does that same graduated levels of harm in this bill as well. You've been really great to work with, and I look forward to our continuing working to make certain that we address this issue in a way that keeps Minnesotans safe. So thanks so much.
The fiscal note, I understand, so far shows no fiscal impact. Mr. Wells, why don't you give a short summary on that?
Mr. Chair, due to the rapid pace of this bill, the fiscal note request was just submitted Friday of last week, and so not all of the agencies have responded. Sentencing Guidelines responded to the 1E version of the bill, saying they did not think it was that there would be enough prosecutions that it would have a material impact on bed space and therefore put in a zero. Corrections has not responded but follows the lead of Sentencing Guidelines. The Public Defense Board and Supreme Court have both been put on the fiscal note request. They have not yet responded, but if the prosecutions are assumed to be as low as sentencing guidelines suggest, they should have no significant costs. I would say there was one of the assumptions made by sentencing guidelines was that it was presumed to be a five-year felony and that if there were prosecutions, many would receive probation, and so therefore the impact would be small. I'm uncertain as to whether those assumptions would change with some of the more severe penalties in the A5 amendment, but I will put in a request on the next engrossment before it moves to the next committee.
Okay. Any questions about that? Representative Franzen, any close?
First off, I'd like to thank Ms. Farhil for coming today and for worries and for Fartuma. Thank you very much for telling your story. I'd like to thank Representative Hilstrom for her advice and guidance as well. I appreciated working with you as well. And to the committee members for your time in hearing this bill. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you, Representative Franzen, for the bill and to our testifiers. Any comments? Okay, with that, the chair will move House File 2621 as amended to be referred to Health and Human Services Reform. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you, members. We adjourned. And we're adjourned.